He's got too much pine tar.
Sloppy jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes,
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And Demon Matt.
He is out. And having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much pottar.
way too much pottar.
And welcome back to another brand new episode of Too Much Pod Tar. I am your host, Alex Keeler, back with another episode by myself today, but, you know, just a couple days ago now, the Mets pulled off an absolute blockbuster of a trade as they got Francisco Lindor, the stud shortstop from the Indians, but not only him. Not only Francisco Lindor to bolster their lineup, they also got Carlos Cookie Carrasco, one of the top pitchers from the Indians, to give them a huge arm in their rotation. So it's a big trade, and it's pretty much a steal. Pretty much pulled off the highway robbery of the Indians, because they sent back to the Indians just three prospects: shortstop Andrés Giménez, right-hand pitcher Josh Wolf, and outfielder Isaiah Green. So, and Wolf and Green are really young. They weren't even that far into the system, the Mets system, yet. So I don't know what the Indians were doing with that move. They obviously were going to trade Lindor at some point. They wanted to do it before the season began, whenever the season does begin, but they were looking to do it before opening day. But they should have. I think they could have got. They definitely could have got a better deal than that. I think, like, any other team in the majors could have had a better deal than that for them. I mean, but just the Mets side of things, it's a just fantastic move on all points, all cylinders, like. That they were able to get a star shortstop. And, to mention too, actually, it wasn't just those guys, actually. It was also, Ahmed Rosario as well, that was traded in that. So, he's not terrible, but I don't think that's the guy that they need to get back in return. I mean, the Mets are definitely, they would trade off him for Lindor, for sure. But yeah, they lose him, who's been an okay player for them over his time there. But obviously, he's definitely not at the level of Lindor. Lindor is one of the best players in the game today. He had an off season last year, but he's going to come back this next season here, storming. I think he'll be a fantastic player in that lineup for the Mets. With Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil. So it's just a great move. And they also, obviously, as I said, Carrasco getting into their rotation. They were having an unbelievable rotation. You know, they could have a top three of DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Carrasco at some point. Obviously, Syndergaard won't be starting the year. right away, coming back from an injury. But it was Tommy John surgery last year, but he'll be back maybe at some point, whenever, depending on when the season starts, but maybe some point like in mid-season. So they definitely have a very, very solid rotation, you know, down the stretch run of the season. And this deal has to make them the favorites for the National League East. Not the National League altogether, because you still got the Dodgers, but the NL East, they're definitely favored. Because you know you got the Nats, who, you know, after winning the World Series in 2019, they fell off last year in the shortened 60-game season. They were not too great. They had, you know, they were struggling. They didn't have the luck of getting, being able to go from, you know, 19-31 to then bounce back and then end up making the playoffs and then going all the way to win the World Series, because they finished 26-34. You know, 60, that's the thing with the 60-game season. You're not going to get, you know, bumps and valleys like normally. You have a big, huge bump, a big slide, a big losing streak. You know, you're not going to be able to have the chance to turn it around like they did in 2019. So, yeah, that 60-game season was tough for them. I mean, they finished the season the last 10 games. They went 7-3, so they took seven out of the last 10 games. So, like, it looked like they maybe were starting to turn it around, but they didn't. They just don't have the whole season to do it. But we'll see what happens next year. You know, if you get 162 or somewhere around that, maybe 150, I don't know what's going to happen. We still don't know really anything. They still haven't decided on the DH rule, if they're going to have that in the National League still again, which I'm crossing my fingers that that's going to happen. I mean, that's a topic for another episode. That's a huge topic, but they haven't really done much of anything yet. And I know we're going to have a lockout next year after this season, however many games we have. And I feel like it's going to drag out. They're not going to be able to decide right away, not going to decide on the DH and all that shit. I think they're going to drag it the hell out, and they're going to clash. The Players Association and MLB are going to clash again like they did before they got set on the 60-game season. I think it's going to be something similar, and then they're definitely going to have a lockout next year or whatever. They're not going to start on time next year for 2022, because it's just right now it's a rough time. It's even without COVID, they probably would have done the same thing, but COVID makes it even worse. It makes the whole situation worse because we don't know. But nonetheless, I think the Nationals, they can turn things around. I think they'll be back in that race again for the division. They have the pieces. They still have the pieces there. They have the great pitching. You know, Scherzer. You know, Strasburg, and they still got great pieces. And obviously Soto. Their lineup is still pretty solid. You know, obviously they saw. They obviously left to losing Rendon. They saw how that was turned out. You know, that's a big piece to the lineup there, and they definitely felt the brunt of that, of losing him. But Soto's, you know, he proved that he could be the main guy in that lineup, the leader. They also got Josh Bell, so they traded him. They traded for him from the Pirates earlier this offseason, so they can definitely have a great power lineup there with him in the middle of the lineup. Now they added some power, and obviously he's not the greatest defensive first baseman, but he provides some solid pop, so he can be in the middle, like maybe five or six in the lineup. But other than that, they got the Phillies. Phillies haven't done anything this offseason so far. And their pitching is still very, very shaky. I don't really trust their pitching at all. They have a couple pieces, Spencer Howard, their top prospect, but he struggled last year when he came up. And of course, they're losing JT Realmuto unless he somehow re-signs with them, which I don't believe is going to happen. I think he'll end up signing somewhere else. But he could. Maybe he will re-sign there, but we'll see what happens. But he's huge. If they lose him, they don't re-sign him. That's definitely going to be big. You got Zach Wheeler in the rotation, who's solid. You got Aaron Nola. He's kind of up and down. He hasn't shown the consistency as of yet. He did have a good solid season last year. Wheeler as well. Also Zach Eflin. But outside the top three, those three guys have been pretty solid. But outside them, Jake Arrieta is a free agent. He was also inconsistent when he was there, so he's not going to be re-signed there. After that, Spencer Howard, he's an option, but he's still very young and raw and didn't prove anything last year. Obviously, the shortened season, the COVID, the whole situation was tough for him, but for somebody making their debut. Yeah, he's definitely going to have to prove something moving forward. And they still have Vince Velasquez, but he was up and down as well. He wasn't too great. And also on Howard, too, his season ended up ending early because of a shoulder injury. Yeah, this will be tough. This what the rotation is after the top three, and obviously also Didi Gregorius is being lost to free agency, who was pretty solid. He was a pretty good bat in our lineup last year, and if they can re-sign him, that would be pretty key, because he actually did bounce back from the rough 2019 with the Yankees. He got a .284. Batting average, over 215 at bats, 40 RBIs, 10 home runs. It was pretty solid for him coming back from, he was coming back from Tommy John in 2019, so that's why he kind of struggled. I was ready for him to break out again, and he did break out somewhat there in the 60 game season. Had a solid, 827 OPS, middle of the line. Not the greatest, but also not the worst. But, also the short season as well, as I keep saying over and over. But you have to take those stats with a grain of salt. So, he did have a good season. I think he'll be able to keep going off that and improving. So, whatever team he ends up with, I think he'll do good. I think the Phillies would definitely benefit from getting him back, because, his defense is not he doesn't have that great of a defense at short, but his bat is still solid. If not, they're going to have to look elsewhere at short. Gene Segura is still there, so he can move back to short, because they moved him to second last year when Gregorius came in, and I have to look at second base options or shortstop options and keep Segura at second. But, it was definitely a bunch of shortstop options, free agent options. I don't think the Phillies were ever really really going to be in play for Lindor. So I don't think that was ever going to be an option. I think they were going to definitely be looking at the free agent market. So you still got, guys like Andrelton Simmons. And all those other guys. There's plenty of other guys, but I can't think of it. Oh, Tommy La Stella as well. who plays a little bit of short and second. So that would be a pretty solid option. He's got a nice bat, solid contact guy, plays good defense. Well, of course, also DJ LeMahieu is an option for second base, and that would definitely be a huge get for them. You know, if they can't get Gregorius back, why not get another former Yankee? I mean, so yeah, I like the Phillies' chances. As I said, their pitching is a little shaky outside their top three in the rotation, but I think they can make some waves. I think Harper's going to come back and have an MVP type season. He's just waiting for him to break out. I think this year is going to be the year that he comes back and has an MVP type season again. It's been a little while since he's had those type of numbers, and you know, him and Trout coming up at the same time, I always thought, you know, Trout and Harper were going to be 1-2, but you know, as the top two players in the league. But that hasn't happened. You know, Harper's been struggling a little bit. He struggled in his first year at the Phillies. I think just adjusting to the new city and everything. And last year, he didn't have the terrible season. It was actually pretty solid, but it wasn't the MVP type of numbers we would expect. And that's why it's kind of people kind of underrate him, because they look at the contract that he got. They look at him as an MVP guy, you know, somebody that is going to be this, should be, or was at some point the second best player in the league behind Trout. And they say, oh, well, he's not putting up otherworldly numbers, so he sucks. People say he sucks. So, oh, Harper's trash. But in reality, he's not. He's actually been very, very solid. He just hasn't been the MVP we were accustomed to when he first came up. And I think that will come. I think I'm going to go and say he wins the MVP, the National League MVP, in 2021. I said it last year, too, I believe. I think I had him as MVP, or maybe I know he was up there. I don't know if I actually picked him for the MVP. I know I had him in, you know, the top five or something, but I'm going to go and say he wins the MVP this season. And I will go even a step farther. Even with the Mets trading for Lindor and Carrasco, I'm going to go and say the Phillies win the National League East division. I think their pitching comes together. There's top three especially. They make another move besides, you know, getting some of these guys. I think they bring, actually, I'm going to say that they do bring JT Realmuto back. Their lineup is solid with him, Harper, having a great season. I think Hoskins has a great season. And I think they're going to make some other moves with the bullpen or rotation. You know, once the trade deadline comes around, they're going to make a huge move, I think, too, either in the rotation or their bullpen. That's going to help them get over that hump and get the division title. And the Mets finish second, but it's a tight race all the way. I think the Mets are going to be good. They're going to make the playoffs. I'm not going to have my full playoff predictions yet because it's still early. We don't know how long the season's going to be, but I'm going to say that the Mets make a wild card. They get one of the wild cards, no matter how many we're going to have this year. I don't know, but either way, even if we have a regular wild card, we just have the two wild cards in each division instead of what we had last year. I think the Mets make it either that or they're expanded. Hopefully it's not going to be expanded because I hated that. But I mean, it wasn't the worst, but I just don't want 14 teams making it out of 30. That's too many. But either way, I think the Mets make the playoffs, but I think I'm going to say the Phillies, they win the National League East. The Braves finish third. The Marlins actually fall off a bit and finish fourth. So Yeah, that's my prediction for that. I kind of wasn't going to go and do predictions, but I just wanted to say that. I think that's a kind of a hot take because, you know, but I think the Mets, they're still going to find a way to Met. But they still make the playoffs. They squeak in. But I think everybody's coming out and saying, oh, they're going to win a division. They're the division, the favorites to win the division after this trade. They, you know, it is a great trade. But I think everybody has got to take it back a notch here. They got to chill out, especially Mets fans. You know how who the Mets are, don't you? Every freaking season, every goddamn time that anybody says, oh my God, the Mets look good. The Mets look good. The Mets look good. They're going to win the World Series. They're going to win the division. They're going to go far. They're going to do this, that, and the other thing. They always find some way to choke. And I know making the playoffs is still not really choking. I still say they're making the playoffs. But I don't know if they're going to go far. I don't think they're going to go far. I think they choke at some point. Also, injuries always bite them in the ass. So until they prove me wrong, until they don't choke, until they don't Met, as we like to say, they are not going to be my favorites. They may be the favorites. They may be Vegas's favorites to win the division. But do not bet on it because I don't want to put house money on the Mets. Because anytime anyone ever does, it goes wrong. It's been happening since 1986 when they won their last championship. They find some way to screw it up. They find some way to... I don't know what happens. It's just something that happens with the Mets. They're the Mets, so they Met. Just like the Jet. The Jets are going to find some way to screw up the draft. They're going to go and draft, I don't know, somebody other than Justin Fields or Sewell. The top, you know, there's the top two options for them, or even Chase, the receiver, or even Smith, Devontae Smith. Any of those guys, if they pick any other ones, that's so stupid. But they're the Jets, so I think they might find some way to screw that up. They're going to do something. Just like the, but anyway, that's not a football pod, but maybe we are a football pod. I don't know. But anyway, just like that situation, the Jets are going to find some way to screw up the draft. They're going to find some way to screw something up. I mean, obviously they screwed up the tank. They were going to go and be able to get Lawrence, Trevor Lawrence, but they won two games, the last two games, and, you know, decided not to get the first pick. Anyway, but just like that, the Mets are going to find some way to screw this up, and they traded for Lindor, traded for Carrasco, yes, but don't go overboard. Calm your expectations, because just like I said, any time that all the expectations are very, very high for the Mets, which they're going to be now because of this, they find some way to screw it up. And I guarantee you, until they prove me wrong, they actually do something other than fucking choke harder than the Falcons, then I'm not going to trust them. I won't trust them till they actually go out and win another World Series, to be honest. And I'm not a Mets hater. Even as a Yankees fan, I don't hate the Mets. I don't know why Yankees fans even hate the Mets. I honestly don't know why Mets fans hate the Yankees. I mean, I guess I can see that a little bit because, you know, they hate us because they ain't us. You know, they hate success because they can't succeed. They hate the team that does. But I don't, as a Yankees fan, it's not a rivalry. It's not a fucking rivalry. Maybe it will be now. but not until they prove me wrong, it won't be, because it's always one-sided. Hopefully, maybe this changes it, because I actually like, as a Yankees fan, I actually like when the Mets are competitive. In 2015, when they went to the World Series, I was rooting for them, because I like to see the little brother succeed, because that's what they are, the little brother. They will always be the little brother. I don't care if they go out and win a division, win the World Series this year, even win two in a row, three in a row, have a three-peat. They are still the little brother of New York. They always will be. They always will be. It's never going to change. The Yankees are the greatest franchise in the history of any American sport. I'm not going to go and say, blah, 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 you know, the whole saying. You know the drill, the Yankees fans say. You know the drill. It starts with two, ends with seven rings. Yes, I didn't say it specifically, okay? You don't have to bust my balls. But anyway, because that's what I'm saying, though. The Yankees have better history, better success. So the Mets will always be the little brother. I don't hate the Mets, though. Because I like to see them succeed. I want them to be competitive. I want, when we play them, actually to be a close matchup. I don't want to blow them out every game. So, if they prove me wrong this year and they actually play competitively, I will be clapping from the sidelines. I will be clapping. I will be clapping for them. I will be cheering for them. Unless they play the Yankees. When they're playing the Yankees, obviously I don't want them to succeed. But when they're not playing the Yankees, then they can do their best to win the division. And maybe prove me wrong. Maybe they will win the division. But, like I said, until they prove me otherwise, then I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not falling for it. Just because they make a huge trade like this, they've done things like this in the past. I mean, maybe not so drastic as a move like that, but they've had the expectations through the roof before, and they failed. Maybe you can change my mind. Maybe you can say something that will change my mind. No, you can't. Sorry. You can't say anything to change my mind about this until I see them on the field hoisting the World Series trophy at the end of October. My mind will not be changed until I see that. Until I see them win the division and go all the way to the World Series and not choke it away. That is when I will be fully on board. I will actually root for them too. I will be clapping for them. I will be excited to see them win a World Series. I will be excited to see them actually do something. But that does not mean, even if that happens, that does not mean that they will be kings of New York, because that will always be the Yankees. No matter what happens. Unless maybe, I don't know, they all of a sudden win, you know, 20 World Series in a row. But before anything else, if they cannot be the kings of New York unless they end up winning crazy amounts of World Series. Because the Yankees are the Yankees. The Yankees are just the Yankees, okay? You can call me out whatever you want. Call me whatever. But the Yankees are the kings. They always will be the kings of New York. Steve Cohen, I don't care. They have Steve Cohen. He made this huge move. They're going to make a bunch of other moves. You can have all the money in the fucking world. And that it won't matter unless you actually do something with it. Unless you actually, the product is still on the field. Even if you have the greatest team in the history of sports, that you have every freaking superstar player on a team, if they don't win a World Series, it's a failure. If they don't win a championship, it's a failure. And that's why the Golden State Warriors, when they won 73 fucking games in, what year was that?
when they won 73 fucking games in the 2015-2016 season. When they did that. Yes, they had more wins than the 95-96 Bulls, Chicago Bulls. But did they win the championship? No. It doesn't matter. They are still not the greatest team in the history of the NBA. The Chicago Bulls, the 72-win Chicago Bulls of the 95-96 season, who won the championship, are still the greatest team in the history of the NBA. So it doesn't matter what kind of team you have. If you have every superstar available, you're not going to...
It does not matter unless you win the championship. Okay? So the Mets could have everybody. They can have Lindor. They can have Mookie Betts. I mean, that was also a possibility at some point before he signed his extension with the Dodgers last year when he was traded there. If he was a free agent this year, that could have been a guy that the Mets went after. They could have had him. If they did, if they had Lindor, they had Betts. They had, you know, all these guys. DeGrom, Carrasco, Syndergaard, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't fucking matter unless you actually win. So I'm not going to just go and say, oh my God, the Mets are so good. They're going to go and win so many World Series now because Steve Cohen is going to go and spend all this money. He's not – he didn't all of a sudden – like, he's not the magic man. He's not going to just all of a sudden create championships out of the blue, out of his ass because he has money, because he's not afraid to spend money. And we've seen before. Just because you can spend money doesn't mean you can – doesn't automatically make you somebody that can win. Money isn't always the answer. You don't always win because you have the biggest payroll. Sometimes small payroll wins. I mean, it takes an awful lot to win as a small payroll team, but it's happened before. But sometimes the biggest payroll ever does not win. So, no matter what happens, if you do not win a championship, you're a failure. You play to win. You can get as many players on your team that are all-stars, but it won't matter unless you win. Like I said, that Warriors team, I consider them one of the best teams ever. They were a very good team. But the Cavaliers, they were just better because they won the championship. Whoever wins the championship is the best team in that year, in that season. Obviously, but the Warriors were obviously the best team, best regular season team. But they weren't the best team in the playoffs because the Cavs beat them. And they're not the best team ever because they did not win the championship. If you do not win the championship, it does not matter. Nothing else matters. So, yes, well, that's a different topic, obviously, with the Hall of Fame. That's coming up soon, too. Obviously, since it's a team sport, the Hall of Fame, that's a different topic. I'm going to go into transitioning into talking about that a little bit because... as far as that's concerned, championships don't matter as much for when you're looking at one particular player. When you look at one particular player, you just look at his accolades. You can't look at the team, really. I mean, it's a plus. It's icing on the cake if you win a bunch of championships. That's more to look at as far as as a player is. But you don't have to win even one to make the Hall of Fame. Ted Williams never won. He was he's arguably the greatest hitter of all time,
So that's why he made the fucking Hall of Fame. So if Mike Trout doesn't end up winning a World Series at some point with the Angels, which is very hard to see happening, but I really hope it does because it's wasted talent if it doesn't. But if he doesn't, he's still going to be a Hall of Famer. He already is a Hall of Famer now. Like, it's obvious. But, yeah, team-wise, if you don't win the championship, you're considered a failure, which in Yankee land is every season that they don't win, that season was a failure. I mean, because it's the Yankees. They're always – expectations are always through the roof for them. So that's why. But, I mean, some teams, they have to, you know – sometimes the championship isn't the greatest thing. I mean, obviously it is the greatest thing, but it's not the ultimate goal, or it is the I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it is the ultimate goal. But sometimes teams are – they'll take at least getting to the playoffs sometimes, at least getting the division title or at least making the World Series even, and they'll see that as a success because they're not always – I mean, that's obviously apparent with, you know, small market teams. They're not always – they don't expect – never. Nobody expects them to even make it that far. So if they actually make to the World Series, even makes it to the ALC – I mean, the Championship Series, if they make it that far, their season is considered a success because they're not expected to go anywhere. So – yeah, it's so. I think in the long run, I mean, most teams it is a failure if they don't win, and obviously, big market teams especially. But teams that have, you know, pretty much stacked, they have a team that's like stacked with a bunch of superstars. If they don't win the World Series, it's a failure. So. It doesn't matter what happens this season if the Mets have all these expectations to win the division, to go and make a run in the playoffs. If they don't, it's a failure. Doesn't matter what you have on the field as long as you win. I mean, you can win the World Series with like one all-star, and because it's just the product is still played on the field. So. Anyway, that's just some thoughts I had about the Mets, about your expectations for them have to really temper them because they're the Mets. They're always disappointing. They always disappoint Mets fans in the end. But looking at the trade from an Indians standpoint, I just – don't understand at all what the hell they're doing. In the last couple of seasons, they've traded. They've hurt their fan base. Their fan base is so hurt now because, like, look what all these star players they've traded away over the last few years. You know, they traded Kluber, or not, did they trade him? No, I think he was a free agent. They traded Bauer. They lost Kluber to free agency. I think they did trade him. But anyway, yeah, they traded Bauer. They traded now Carrasco. They traded Lindor. You know, they traded all these guys away. And I understand that maybe it's towards the end of their their window here, and they have to get something for Lindor now before he became a free agent, because you know, then they'll just lose him for nothing in free agency. They had to get something, but he didn't get enough. They should have waited. They should have waited till something else came in front of them, because that deal was not nearly enough. I know, maybe the most important thing was getting him away from the American League. They wanted to make sure they had found the right team to do that, to, you know, somebody like the Mets who are Not in a, I mean, obviously they're in the National League. They want to get him away from the American League. They didn't want to trade him to an American League team, but there's still 14 other National League teams that probably would have given them loads more than what they got. I mean, just look at what the Padres, I mean, even the, I mean, I don't know. The Padres still, even now they can, still didn't give that much up. I mean, for Blake Snell, they did give up a little bit. Even for that trade, they gave up a pretty vast amount. But for the Yu Darvish trade, they didn't give up anything, really much. So the Cubs are kind of stupid in that right too, in that regard. They didn't really do it. I don't know. The Cubs, it seems like these National League teams are just stupid. The Cubs didn't. I mean, no. I'm sorry. The Mets are not stupid. I mean. So it seems like these teams are just stupid. Like the Cubs and Indians, what are you doing? The two teams that were in the 2016 World Series. I understand they both are at the end of their windows here. I understand that they can't pay all these players. But you still need to find something more. I don't know what the hell is going on because I understand it's a weird season. It's a COVID year. It's all this shit that's going on, but you didn't even get like one top 100 prospect. You didn't. I mean, I don't know. It's just mind boggling to me. That they just, I don't know. Well, I mean, the Indians did get a top 100 prospect. The Cubs didn't, but the Indians did. Jimenez was the Mets' number one prospect. But other than him, he's their main piece pretty much to the trade. But the other guys were just recent. They're not even that far into the system yet. They were just recently drafted. I think the one guy was drafted last year. The other guy was drafted 2018. And they haven't really done much in the systems yet. I mean, the Mets system yet. I don't know. What are they doing? The two teams that were just in the 2016 World Series, they, like I said, I understand they were at the end of their window. But you still, you can't just, I mean, you can't just essentially throw a money dump out there or whatever. I mean, as far, the Yu Darvish trade was a money dump. The Lindor one wasn't really much. I mean, it wasn't a money dump because he didn't get his. He would have got a huge contract after this year, which that's essentially what they're avoiding is paying him that much money. But I just don't know. Like, you. Like. It's kind of stupid, too, though, because the Indians still would have been competitive this year. I 100% believe that they would have been. They were competitive last year. They made the playoffs. The AL Central is not that great of a division. It's pretty weak, if I'm being honest. The Twins, they're always in there. They're always in the race. They're always good. But they're going to be good again. The White Sox are on the up and up, up and coming. They have a solid team, but it's none of those teams are going to be world beaters, in my opinion. The Twins are not going to be world beaters this year, I don't think. I think the Indians still could have been competitive in that division. They still could have done something. Maybe they still can, but it's less likely now. I mean, they still have very good pitching. They still have Shane Bieber. Still have just forgot what the other guys' names are, but you know, they still, even now after trading Carrasco too, they still have some good pitching. So they could still be competitive. I just don't see it because they're not going to have anything in that lineup. Jose Ramirez, that's about it. So, and then maybe they'll still trade him away at the maybe probably by the trade deadline at least. But if they, I don't know. If they just stuck it out, they could have been competitive. They could have done something this year. But I guess they're just at the end, they just wanted to give it away. But they basically gave it away for nothing. They gave the keys to Lindor and Carrasco for nothing. For basically nothing. And get out a little bit. But they didn't get enough. That's two big guys in their, on their team. Two big pieces, huge pieces that I just, what they could have got so much more. Why didn't they get more? Why didn't they wait it out a bit? Wait out, maybe hold out, like, obviously go and have in discussions with teams, but, like, if they just, you know, teams get desperate. Teams would have got desperate. Especially towards the beginning of whatever season we have, there was going to be teams that got desperate and maybe throw in some more prospects. Even the Mets maybe would have got desperate if other teams were in the mix, because I didn't even hear any other rumors about any other teams being involved with these talks. It was just the Mets and the Indians. Like, they just wanted to get the first deal, and that's it. They settled on the first deal they got, because that's what it seems like to me. That's what it seems like to me, and with the Cubs, Yu Darvish trade as well. They just want to get rid of it. They just want to get rid of him now before anything else happens, because they worried. They're worried that there's not going to be a season and they weren't going to be able to get rid of him. Now, maybe, I don't know. It's just weird. It's just, I know, it's so unknown. It's so unknown what's going to happen with this season. It's so unknown what's going to go down because of COVID. Stupid fucking COVID. But still, you at least wait it out. Try to see if you can get other deals. At least talk to other teams. But I didn't hear anything else about any other team being involved. Ever. So I'm a little bit confused. Why? Why do you jump on the first, like literally the first deal that's placed in front of you? You're like, you have to just jump on it? Like, are you that desperate to get rid of Lindor? That desperate to get away from it, to go into a full-on rebuild, it's just mind-boggling. Because now the AL Central is going to be even more poverty. Obviously it's very likely the White Sox win the division. I know the Twins are very good still. I'm not going to really trust their pitching this year. Their pitching is very, very suspect. So the lineup is going to be very good. But also Nelson Cruz is a free agent. He's also 40. I mean, he can play till he's 50, but if they don't re-sign him, that's a huge hit to the lineup. But their lineup is still going to be solid without him, but their pitching is just so suspect, especially since they lost Trevor May. Their bullpen is going to take a huge hit. So, you know, I don't know. The White Sox are winning that division. I'm saying it right now. The White Sox are going to win that division. The White Sox lineup is so good. I think their rotation is going to be pretty solid, too. They got some guys in there. Like, you know, they got Dylan Cease. They got Michael Kopech coming up, so they have some young guns in there. I think they're gonna be very solid, and obviously they still have this offseason to make some other moves. We haven't seen any moves yet as far as free agency goes. We've seen trades. You know, the Padres making both of those trades is for Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. You know, obviously the Mets trade, but we haven't seen anything else really. I don't think we've seen any free agency, like any big ones at least. We've seen a couple minor moves here and there, but it's been very slow. It's been really, really slow. I hope we get some rumblings of shit happening soon. You know, with the big guys like DJ LeMahieu, Trevor Bauer. I mean. It's going to suck. It's already sucked, but it's going to drag even on farther. Like, I can even say that he might get to February with only like one or two signings, one or two like big free agent signings, and then still have like loads of other guys on the market. And it's going to be, it's like, at that point, you know, well, we don't even know when the season is going to start yet. I mean, it could start in April. It could start at the end of March, but I don't think it will. It might start in May. We might start in, I don't fucking know. Like, nobody knows shit about shit right now, about anything, because it's just so uncertain. You know, we have a vaccine now, but it's uncertain when people are going to get it. Are they going to require people to, are they going to require all the players to get the vaccine before the season starts, before we can actually get it started? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would think that would probably be a smart thing to do. But, you know, also, baseball players are not, they should not be first in line. They're not, you know, they're not, they're pretty much just like famous people. They shouldn't be first in line. They shouldn't, like, they're not the frontline workers and everything. They're not people that need to get it right away. And I mean, it's just a sport. You know, I know we all love sports and we really miss them over those months that we didn't have it last year. But at the end of the day, there's more important things in the world than sports. I mean, I know I'm one of the biggest sports fans in the world, and I can almost not live without them, but there's so much more important things than that. All the problems we're facing today, I don't want to get into details about it because I don't really like to go into that sort of thing. I mean, but it's a huge issue with, I mean, I'm in politics especially, I don't want to get into, but I mean, it's just huge. It's topics that we have to get into. We have to dive more into. We have to work as a society to get better, to get to a better place in our lives and improve things. It doesn't matter who the fucking president is. It doesn't matter who's in charge of anything. It doesn't matter who's in government positions. It's down to us. It's up to us to make change. At the end of the day, it comes down to us and what decisions we put in and day out. Choose to be good. Choose to do the extra thing for someone. Go the extra mile. If you think someone's having a rough day, do the nice thing for them. If you see someone down in the dumps, talk to them. Be a friend. Be there for them. Don't let them go through the day being sad because of things that are happening in the world. Talk it out. Tell them to go see someone. Please. We're in this together. We're all in this together. We all have to come together. We can't, no more of this hate. No more of the left or the right. No more of the one side or the other. It doesn't matter what side you're on. Just like in sports, you can hate one team, but don't hate the people. Don't hate the person. You can hate the team. If you're a Yankee fan, you can hate the Red Sox. If you're if you're a fan of any football team, you can hate the Patriots, because everybody but the Patriots hate the Patriots. Anyway, I mean, you can do that, but don't hate the people. Be kind. Don't hate fans because they're a fan of a team. And I'll go even as far as saying I brutally hate the fucking Astros. But I know Astros fans, and I know some Astros fans, and they're okay people. It's not the people. I mean, they support cheaters, I know. But they're just watching a sport. At the end of the day, it's still just a sport. It's not the end of the world. It's not not the whole. It's not like, at the end of the day, sports are just sports. And the more important things, you have to just let go. You have to let go of the issues that you have with someone. Because any day, we're coming up on the anniversary of Kobe's death. And it's just, that's coming to my mind too right now when I say this. Any day, your best friend's life, your mom's life, your dad's life, your brother's life, your uncle's life, your neighbor's life, anyone you know you're close to, or anybody you know you just pass on the street, any of those lives can just come abruptly to an end. You don't know. We don't know when our time's up. So, all I'm trying to say is, any problems you have with anybody, if you have, you get into an argument, just let it go. Let all that shit go. You can be on opposite sides of something, but still just agree to disagree. We all have different opinions about anything, not even just politics, but, and I know some people go over, they go overboard about shit. Enough of the both sides shit and all this shit. I just don't want any more of this shit anymore. The left to the right, I want to hear both sides. I know both sides suck, but it's not both sides. It's everyone to collectively who's has their bad sides. It's not one side or the other that's worse than the other. It's not this side, that side, left side, right side, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. It's us as a fucking whole. Us as a whole need to get better. Not just one side needs to get better. The other side needs to, like, no. Stop placing blame on one certain thing. One certain person, one certain type of person. That's where we go wrong. We put people into groups. We match people. We put people into certain groups, and that's where we're wrong. That's where you go wrong when you start putting people into categories. That's stereotyping, and that is not right. And that's where racism also comes into play. I wasn't going to go into far detail, but I just have to, because when I look at someone, I don't look at their color of skin. I don't look at even what they look like. I don't care if they have pimples, they have whatever, deformities, or anything. I don't care if they wear glasses. I don't care if they're anything. All I care about is what's in their heart. What type of person they are. They're a genuine person. If they care. Because that's all that matters at the end of the fucking day. That's all we are people. We're all here. The same thing. To live a full life. To do things we love. To be here as one. So please be here together for everyone. Be here for each other. Don't look at them as anything but a human fucking being. Don't treat people like animals. No matter what someone did. No matter how they acted, just be forgiving, because this is not a religious pod, but God was forgiving. God is forgiving to all of us. He put us here on this planet to love us no matter what we do, and he wants us to treat everyone with the same respect that he treats everyone, because that's what happens. And I know some people don't believe in God, don't believe in religion. I'm here to tell you. If you don't believe, it's okay. But, and people say, you know, that, oh, God's not real because he, because all this shit that's going on in the world, all the crap that goes on, why would he let that happen? No, it's not. It's not letting it happen. It's the devil. It's, you know, it, there's so many things that are, we have to blame, like, so many things that just go wrong in the world that, I mean, he teaches us a lesson when he does this thing, these things. 2020 may have been the worst year of the whole history of the world, but only because God's teaching you something, he's telling you. It's going to be okay. This is just the this was the worst of it, but you have to be better. You have to be better. The world sucks, but it's all up to us. You have to just be better. Like, you have to think about it in the long run. You have to say to yourself, would I want to be treated this way? Before you act to something, before you treat someone like shit, before you do something disrespectful, before you act out of character, whatever, before you break the law, just think to yourself, well, is this right? Am I doing something that is gonna make me a better person? Because no, it won't. If you have to think about it, then the answer is no. If you have to think about it, the answer is fucking no. So don't do it. Whatever it is. I'm sorry I got a little emotional here. I'm sorry this is way off sports, but it's because it's important. Like I said, sports are just sports. They're not the most important thing in the world. Sometimes we have to break off of it because I will not shut up and dribble. I will not shut up and just talk sports because it's not what life is all about. We have so many more issues going on in the world that we just have to come together as one, whether that be just, you know, being kind, treating everyone with respect, like we're all meant to do. Just whatever, anything, putting a smile on people's faces. It doesn't have to be anything like out of the ordinary. Just be kind. Don't be hateful towards any certain person. Towards any group of people. We're all just humans. We're all here. We all have a heart. We all have a brain, a mind. We all have, you know, we all have everything that we have. We're all put here with what we have. You can't change who you are because that's just not how it works. You have to just be who you are. You can't change your appearance. So why would you make fun of someone else or pick on someone else or hate someone else because of what they look like or what they believe in? You can't change it. That's just the way it is. You believe what you believe, and you look like you look like what you look like. There's no changing it. You can try to change someone's mind about something, but usually, most of the time, when they believe in something, their mind is made up. Sometimes you can try to convince someone otherwise. Maybe sometimes, in some cases, you can. Especially if someone's far gone, and it's something that's not right to believe in. But No matter what, though, you have to respect their opinion. You just have to disagree to disagree sometimes, because you can't always change someone's thoughts. You can't force someone to believe something that they don't want to. And if they do believe something else, then just let it go. It's not the end of the world that they believe something else. And you can't get all worked up. That's just it. But other than that, yeah. Take a deep breath. Every day of your life, wake up, just thank God you're alive. Thank God you're healthy. Hopefully you are. Hopefully everyone out there is listening is healthy. And I pray for you all that we get out of this. We get out of this, everything that's been going on. We come out the other side as a better population. We're all better for it. We can make a difference if you just try. You just be nice. You just be kind. Doesn't take a lot. Doesn't take a fucking lot. So just wake up. Thank God you're alive and strive to be better every single day. Strive to do something nice for someone every day. Even if it's just whatever, even if it's just hugging your family members, your friends, keeping them close. Not too close, obviously you still have the social distance, but just know that they're there. Know that there's people there that care about you. And you have to care for others, because that's what gets people through each day. If you just show that you can be there, that's enough. So yeah, that's our pod for today. I know I got way off the baseball topic, but as I said, that's not the be all that ends all. It's just sports. But yeah, thanks for listening as always. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Keeler as always. Follow the new TikTok that I made for the Too Much Podtar podcast. It's Too Much Podtar on TikTok. Also follow my Instagram at Alex or at Keeler Alex. So I post some things on there, like my articles and the podcast episodes, some clips from there. And my YouTube channel is also just Alex Keeler. So yeah, that's about it. That's all I have for you today. Continue listening, keeping up on everything that we have going on here. So, yeah, just a reminder, you can never have too much pod tar. Peace out.